marks as a way of kicking off the discussion. And both they'd like to thank the Board of Commissioners and particularly Chairman Folger for the opportunity to engage in this dialogue and to hopefully answer any questions if we have time for that. So as outlined in the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act by President Barack Obama in 2014, the NSB has collaborated with NCBBI, and my written submission, I said since April 2017, but that probably should be corrected to read 2018. My apologies for that. And we've collaborated to provide the five required pre-employment transition activities as outlined in WIOA. To blind Nebraskans, transition age Nebraskans who are blind or low vision. Briefly, those are job exploration counseling, work-based learning experiences, which may include in school or after school opportunities or experiences outside of the traditional school setting, including internships in an integrated environment to the maximum extent possible. Counseling on opportunities for enrollment in comprehensive transition post-secondary education programs in institutions of higher education. Workplace readiness training to develop social skills and independent living, and instruction in self-advocacy, which may include peer counseling. This partnership between the NSB and NCBBI dates back actually to 2004, when the NSB established the Excellence in Career Mentoring, and this was under a five-year model demonstration grant from the U.S. Department of Education Rehabilitation Services Administration, or RSA. The program was designed to connect transition-age youth with blind people, successful blind adult role models. So the successful momentum of our matrix mentoring model is attributed to a powerful philosophy which emphasizes self-initiated advocacy and personal responsibility based on these five elements of success. The five elements of success include coming not only intellectually but also emotionally to accept that it's okay to be blind. Also, not only exposure, but a mastery of alternative techniques of blindness. Coping gracefully and respectfully with the daily interactions that reveal public misconceptions about blindness. Also, blending in or rising up to or exceeding the expectations of our sighted peers. And among a pinnacle measure of personal independence as blind individuals in the demonstrated capacity to give back to society. So in addition to interacting with their mentors, Nebraska mentees also engage in monthly Zoom meetings to gauge how the mentoring relationships are going and to explore pre-X related ideas and activities. We currently have 15 active Nebraska mentees and have served 34 transition age youth in Nebraska across the state. Two of these mentees are in college, completed community college and is currently pursuing employment, and the balance of the mentees are enrolled in high school. Of these, three are currently employed in some capacity. We've had three career quest retreats that had a number of mentees participate. The first one, there was 20. The next one, there were 17. And the one we held most recently had 24 transition youth. Quarterly retreats were held in Nebraska and Lincoln and had focused themes on career exploration, enrollment and post-secondary education, and training opportunities, and work-based learning experiences, resulting in 9 participants who subsequently decided to become mentees. So in the spring of 2019, a tour of the University of Nebraska at Lincoln was conducted as part of the weekend retreat based on the enrollment in higher education. During the fall 2019 retreat, there were 4 work-based learning experiences that were developed and implemented as conduits for learning and direct hands-on experience and interactive discussion. Those activities included a residential and commercial facility management, thanks to Mr. Bolger and leading that project. Also, the business enterprise program led by a blind vendor. A tandem bicycle assembly and maintenance, also led by a blind project manager, and an auto repair component led by Dave Sandstone, who's a blind owner, operator of an auto shop in Nebraska City. 8 mentees participated in multi-day NFP Career Quest event held in conjunction with conventions of the NFP in Orlando, Florida and Las Vegas, Nevada. And one former mentee assumed the presidency of the Nebraska Association of Blind Students and is expected to participate in an annual leadership conference of the National Association of Blind Students in Washington, D.C., actually next weekend. We have involved 14 active mentors to date. That does not include blind program staff. And we're reaching out for new mentors. We're about to launch a new effort to recruit new mentors nationwide. We brought Kelly Coleman on board as Nebraska's local coordinator. And we continue to work closely with NCDVI district managers and VR counselors to improve the channels of communication for program integrity and accountability, and to increase the potential for expanding opportunities for Nebraska blind and low vision youth. That's a summary of what I have. I know that we have Kelly in the room, and I think I heard Brandon too, so I'll give it back to you, Carol. I hope everyone will be able to hear that okay.
Thank you, Maurice.
Hi everyone, this is, Hi, this is Kelly Coleman. As Maurice said, I am the state coordinator for the mentoring program. Maurice gave you a pretty good summary. I don't have much to add to it except to say that these are wonderful mentees and mentors. You all do a fabulous job of making this program run. We couldn't do it without you guys. We do have one mentee here, Brandon Peters, who has been in the program for, what, Brandon, 2 years? So he is one of the most well-spoken, hard-working young people I have had the privilege of working with. We asked him here just to give a couple of quick words about what the program has done for him. So I will give Brandon Peters the mic.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Am I close enough to the mic?
You're fine.
You're perfect. Yeah.
So as Kelly Coleman said, I have been a mentee in the mentoring program for about 2 years now. And first, let me go to the backstory of how I came to be a part of this program. When I was introduced to this program, I was currently a student at the Nebraska Center of the Blind and Visually Impaired. And it was actually Carol Jenkins here who told me about this this program and persuaded me to give it a chance. And after being at a retreat and seeing how this program worked out, I was persuaded, it would be beneficial for me to be part of a mentoring network. So at first, I had a couple of mentors, Mark Bolger being one of them, another one, Miguel Rocha, and the third, Mike Hansen. And mainly Mark Bolger and Mike Hansen both gave me pretty nice assistance in my introduction to the difficulty of college. And this program has really helped me, especially since I got to work more with Kelly Coleman, as she has been a teacher of students before. And I want to be a Spanish teacher one day. So I would just like to say thank you to Carol Jenkins for persuading me to join this awesome program of mentors and mentees alike. And thank you to all the mentors of this program who have inspired me to continue on my career path strongly and successfully.
All righty.
Yay.
Well, I wasn't specifically on the agenda for this, but being a participant, I'm going to just, and I'm the chairman, I can kind of control the microphone here for a minute, but first of all, I'd like to take credit for all the success that Brandon has had, but that would be lying because he's a very capable person. And the thing about the mentoring program, we live in different times. And I think I'll applaud Maurice and the NFB for kind of thinking outside of the box. There's times that maybe one mentor is not best suited for one mentee. So sometimes mentors play different roles and different times. And, with the ability to get together, it's difficult. We have to be resourceful. And I think NFB's done a good job of frustration maybe for some of the mentors might be that, hey, these kids are busy and, they don't always get back to us right away. Well, that's just kind of the way kids are today. And we have to kind of meet the people that are being mentored at their level. And that means sometimes you may talk to them a couple times a week, and sometimes if things are going well, it may be longer than that. And I know, like, Maurice is pretty in tune to each of the mentees, and you know, they try to adapt the mentoring to those particular mentees. And I was fortunate, like Brandon, he's pretty good shape. I talk to him once in a while, but you know, I know if he needs something, he's capable enough to ask. And I know when I don't hear from him or he doesn't call back, I know probably things are doing pretty well. So that's kind of the way it is. We have to kind of be where the mentored people are, and I think that's, and if he's trying to do a good job of that, you know, when I'm an ACB guy and I'm working with NFP, I think that's a good thing, because I believe there's times when we all can agree that we need to invest in our next generation of blind people. And I know there's sometimes we talk about philosophies and different beliefs, but I haven't heard anything that would be contrary to what the ACB believes as far as helping equip our youth to be successful adults. So I wouldn't say I'm putting a stamp of approval on it, but I agree with what's going on, and I applaud the NCBVI for partnering with this mentoring program. And, you know, we have limited resources as an agency, and this is one area that we can partner with the NFB and provide a much-needed service. So that's my two cents. Does anybody else, commissioners, anybody want to make a comment before we go to public?
I do have one.
There you go, Robert.
Question.
Here, take care of the microphone.
So Brandon, so I guess one of the questions I'd like to have you think about and give us a little of your thoughts is...
Brandon has left the building.
I apologize.
Oh.
He had his family thing he had to run.
That's right. So, all right, so other blind people in here that... but really, I guess one of the things that I know that I most benefited from and still do in many ways is, you know, because I was sighted and I went blind, and I went to a school for the blind after that, and it was kind of a unique environment. You just are around other blind kids, and so it's just things like that you learned about. But when I got out and I was amongst other blind folks that were adults, I guess the observations of just how they lived their lives, that's not what they said necessarily, because mentors they got to talk, they got to give choices, information. So I would have asked him about just what has he learned just by what he has observed? Because I don't know if he's been around just successful blind people, you know, men and women that have families, and they just all do all those living types of things that his parents have done and other adults just do. I just would like to have heard more about, you know, that aspect of his experience.
So. I can answer a little bit of that.
All right.
Just from what I've heard from
him. Would you like this?
Yeah, and I guess we're not going to go to public, but we definitely want to continue this discussion about the focus topic, and then we'll jump over to the public.
Sorry, this is Kelly.
Yeah.
I can answer a little bit of your question based on what I have heard from mentees who have either are no longer in the program and or are in currently, including Brandon. I actually just heard from a mentee last night who said she has recently lost a good deal of vision, and she said, wow, the mentors actually do apply to me. You're successful, it's great. She said that she very much has learned that it's okay to be blind and that there are successful people. And she said she knew that logically in her head. She understood that. But after being around blind people and going to retreats and participating in the program, it really hit home for her specifically that she herself was able to be blind and be successful. And I've heard that same story in different forms from mentees. So I hope that answers a little bit.
And I, having been his mentor, I'd like to add to that too. Well, what I've learned is, you know, like everybody, blind youth are, they're all different with different needs. And the thing about Brandon, which I really like, is he's a pretty resourceful guy. And he knows that not one person has all the answers. So he's one that, he's tapped into a network where, you know, he might call me and hit the son of a gun, that guy might call someone else for a different opinion too. So, and that's okay. Brandon knows that he's tapped into a network, and I think Maurice, hasn't he called you once or twice on something too? He's still there, Maurice, or is he gone? You know Brandon pretty well, don't you? He's a resourceful guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, he's not, he knows, based on, he's a networker, and he knows there's different resources out there. So, and I think that's the kind of what the mentoring program is now. It's not just necessarily one person, one-on-one, it's more you're tapped into a network. So what do you think about that, Maurice? Could you talk about that a little bit more and the different roles that mentors play?
I got part of your question, Mark, but I don't think I got it entirely.
Yeah.
Your question was?
Well, Maurice, can you talk a little bit about how you bring in different mentors to play different roles with mentees, and it may not be a long-term relationship, but it'll be as needed? Are you getting me on that question?
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. So what makes our mentoring program unique is in our matrix model. We call it a matrix model. Rather than just pairing people up, you know, kind of like an arrangement, it may work out, it may not, as relationships sometimes do or don't. So in a matrix model, we try to match mentees with 2 to 3 mentors. And Mark's correct, so they may play different roles. Some mentors are a good sounding board to deal with some of those emotional adjustment issues. Another mentor might excel in answering those technical questions of how can I get this piece of equipment or this piece of software that I need for my curriculum. And yet another mentor might be the one to encourage the mentee to, you know, get out there more in the world instead of looking always inward or something like that. So we look for that formula, that sweep. It's fluid. When the matches are made, they're not forever etched in stone. But we try to chronicle those relationships over time and collect information to see how it's going, so that they can be evaluated. That's the value of the Zoom conferences every month, and we have a similar one for mentors. If I can just say this about the career mentoring program for me, what I hope that we're doing is providing a little bit of a competitive edge for our mentees who are blind or have low vision. Because as we all know, and Mark, you said this too, people are at different stages of adjustment and different levels of vision and so forth. But by a competitive edge, we know that we live in a society that's based on, vision as a measure of success. So wherever you fall in that hierarchy, it's kind of where you fall in that, if you're going to be successful. But we like to challenge that and turn it around like an hourglass. If the gold standard is mastery of alternative techniques, if the gold standard is actually being blind or low vision is normal, and if those, you know, 5 elements of success are the gold standard, then, you know, we turn that around. So if you're a good Braille reader, that's not to the exclusion of print. That's not to the exclusion of being able to use visual methods. But the gold standard is mastery of those alternative techniques. So that it increases the ability to problem solve. It increases the ability, you know, when you go into a college environment or a career environment, to be able to advocate for the accommodations that one needs. And being able to distinguish between accommodations something that might be called special treatment or something like that. So thanks for indulging me the,
no, thank you.
You know, discussing that a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you want me to let Emil make any comments?
Sure. Emil, do you have any comments you'd like to add?
Well, I just want to echo expression of appreciation to all the commissioners. But the thing I think that I want to be very open and feel comfortable doing that with this group. Nebraska already had a very robust program for young people. The staff at the commission and the agency express a sincere commitment to that program, and we appreciate the opportunity to partner in the professionalization of that programming and hopefully the enhancement of the programming. And I love the fact that we have so many positive stories to share about the program. I'd be the first to say that it's not a perfect program. Perfection is a goal. I don't think it's ever really reached. And I really do appreciate the fact that we've been able to work collaboratively with Nebraska to continue to enhance the mentoring program. And you may know that we have this relationship with other agencies, and we'll hopefully be growing the program in other states across the country. But it's through our collaboration toward growing, developing, and enhancing this program that you guys are assisting us have the same impact on blind youth across the country. So
just
sincerely
and honestly,
thank you guys.
Thank you. All right, well, I was just going to throw it over to you, Carlos, because I want to know what was your vision and decision making, and how does this fit into, you know, this is just one little piece of our package of services, and then it's just a piece of our transition. So could you just kind of talk about how this fits into the overall state agency services